So today we are with Anil Jaburu and Michael Malik from Information Security. How's everything?
Oh, everything is fun. There's a lot of, as we previously talked, there's a lot of tools that are coming out. So it's an exciting time
for the
Information Security Tools team.
Mac is from the sister team from Information Security Tools. They do security assessments. And so this is a great opportunity to have both teams sitting down at the same table to talk about CAT.NET. So CAT.NET is the code analysis tool for .NET. Why don't you tell us, how this synergy happened and, what's coming up with the new CTP that just got released?
The synergy between the teams is primarily because we wanted to get some expertise from the, especially Mac is working in the information, or Mac Mabul is working in the information security team assessment part of the team, where they assess a lot of applications for security issues. So he has firsthand knowledge of the security issues. So his experience in terms of looking at these issues and finding what those issues are and profiling the issues in order for us to automate that part of analyzing code was really helpful. So that's why we kind of got Mabul in. And also he has some prior dev experience which we could use to build some new features in CAT.NET. As far as CTP is concerned, we're basically updating the CAT.NET core engines. We have updated the data flow analysis engine from CCI to Phoenix infrastructure.
Okay.
Phoenix, for your users, for a quick background, Phoenix is a new compiler infrastructure that has been part of Visual Studio now. And it is also used by FXCOP for some intra-procedural data flow analysis. So we're using this the same Phoenix infrastructure, and we ported our old engine to this Phoenix Phoenix infrastructure to do the same data flow analysis, and essentially added some new engines, which Mabul is going to talk about. The final release is going to include Visual Studio code analysis rules of CAT.NET. So in a sense, you will not have additional UI like the previous version of CAT.NET to use CAT.NET. So you just go to the code analysis tab and you'll instantly see CAT.NET rules in there.
This tool will be part of the Visual Studio experience. That's great. So you guys are working with the product group?
Yes.
Great.
So one of the new features and exciting features of this release of CAT.NET is the configuration engine. So with this engine, we are basically able to detect the most common configuration security vulnerabilities. And it's basically an automated engine that is able to detect that. When you run the CAT.NET tool, this is one of the rules that also the configuration is also something that executes with CAT.NET. It's part of CAT, integral part of CAT.NET, and it also flags on all the common configuration issues that it's able to find, and that is also obviously part of the report. So, let me just talk about a little bit about the configuration engine. So basically, the configuration engine has 33 configuration security rules. So it's checking for all these different configuration settings that we've identified, from our experience of doing security reviews, and that's something that we wanted to automate. So this is something that we have actually integrated into the security configuration engine. So what the engine does essentially is it basically recurses through all of the configuration files that it's able to detect, and then it applies all the 33 different configuration rules to see if we have any matches. And if we do find matches, it's able to flag those rules, flag the code snippets and the line numbers, and the report basically has that information for the user to go back and go and remediate those issues. So that's definitely a great feature. Configuration files, anything that we identify as having a .config extension, and then we said, okay, that's a configuration file because of the extension. Some of the stuff that it supports, it has we've built extensive logic into it, so you can have conditions which can be like AND condition or OR conditions. So, you know, we've made this engine very extensible, so you're able to write, you know, almost any type of configuration you could think of. We've designed this engine in a way that this engine should accommodate those rules, so we can actually detect those security misconfigurations, right? So with the OR logic, for example, let me give you an example of that. You know, one of the common configuration issues that we identify is custom errors, right? So if custom errors in a production environment is set to remote only or set to off, you know, that's a security, that's something that needs to be flagged as part of a security review. So that's an OR condition, right? So if it's remote only or if it's set to off, we flag that. And you can and the custom errors rule actually has that built into it. So the other type of condition that you can have is an AND condition, right? So with the AND condition, you want multiple attributes, you want multiple matches for that security rule to match. So if all the conditions are true, then we say that we have found a security violation, right? So an example of that is if you're using a SQL Server membership provider, and you know, with that provider, you can identify the maximum number of attempts that the user has, and also the password attempt window. So if, for example, the maximum attempts is greater than 5 and the password attempt window is greater than 30 or is less than 30 minutes, you know, we may want to flag this issue down. So, you know, we could see how we can make association between different attributes within its HTML configuration element and be able to detect those. And then you can also have a mix and match of these type of conditions, right? So, the different type of operators that we have supported are a equivalent operator. So if an attribute matches a specific value, or if it does not match a specific value, so not equivalent, right? So what this allows you to do is be able to have, you can blacklist or whitelist, specific settings, right? So if you're saying something matches, you're basically blacklisting something. If you say something doesn't match, you're whitelisting something, right? Mm-hmm. You're saying that if, you know, only this is good and everything is bad, right? So you have that support. Other things that we support is, you know, greater than operator. If certain thing is, for example, maximum invalid attempts are greater than 5, we want to flag that. Or we also support less than operator. We also support contains operator. Contains operator is especially useful for doing keyword searches, you know, keyword matches. And then we also, another thing that we realize when you're looking at configuration files is that if there's certain configuration elements that are missing, the defaults automatically apply. And in some cases, defaults are considered insecure. So you can have a rule, and we do have a rule in cat.net where it's able to flag those type of issues down, that if you don't have this configuration element defined, then we're going to flag this because we have a default which is insecure, and we want to bring attention to that as well, right? So we have that as well. Another thing you can do with configuration rules, you can also enable or disable them. So, you know, if you don't want a specific rule to run for whatever reason, you can just disable that rule. And then when we find a violation or for example, a rule has matched, we also give you a certainty. Like, how confident are we that this rule, that we found a legitimate security vulnerability? So we'll give you confidence level with it. So this is a metric that's between 1 and 100, right? So we'll say we have 100% confidence or we have 50% confidence. We'll provide you that input to you as well. So with the issue, we also definitely have the description of what the issue is, you know, why we think this is an issue, and we also tell you what the appropriate mitigation is. So exactly what you need to do. So if you're looking at specific attributes, we will tell you what the value we think that should be for this system to be secure. So another thing that we provide, from our experience, we noticed that a lot of people use these issues that we identified when we were on cat.net, they put this into the bug tracking system, and they want to have a way to track these issues in the bug tracking system. So what we do, we provide you a GUID ID so you can uniquely file these bugs and track these bugs after cat.net has been executed. So that's an interesting feature that we have in there as well. So those are the current features that you have in cat.net. And now, what I wanted to talk about was the future version and what are the different features that we're looking towards implementing, hopefully in the next release. So one of the features that we want to implement is being able to detect code level configuration settings. So for example, you know, the code behind file has a page directive attribute, and then you can define different configuration settings in there. So basically what you're doing is you're overriding the application level configurations in your page file. So in the next version, what we want to do, what we're planning to implement is be able to detect these type of misconfigurations that occur in the code, in the code level. So that's something that's going to, you know, we're looking forward to implementing. Another thing that we want to implement in the next version is sometimes we want to make association between different configuration elements, right? So for example, if you have an encryption key and a validation key that are the same, so we know from that, we know that you were using keys, which you shouldn't be doing. So this is something that we want to implement in the next version, something we call compare, you know, compare different HTML elements. And with this, you can also create, you know, with this type of rule concept, you can actually create other type of rules where you make association between different HTML tags as well. So that's something we want to actually implement in the next version. Another thing that we want to implement in the next version is being able to detect clear text credentials. You know, it sounds like an easy problem, but it's more complicated when you actually get into it, because there's so many different ways you can encrypt credentials, right? You can actually use the DP API to encrypt credentials. You can use RSA, crypto service provider. You could use ASP setreg, etc. So we need to know when we run this tool, what we're going to do. We're going to analyze the credential and see, okay, is it actually encrypted or is it in clear text? And we will do advanced heuristics on that. And then if we feel that it's in clear text, we want to also be able to identify that. So that's something that we want to implement in the next version as well. Another important thing that we want to implement is suppressions, right? So there are many times you can say that, you know, I don't really want these results to appear, or we don't think those results are important or are not relevant to us. So we want to give you the ability to implement a suppression as well. So the way the suppression are meant to work is you could say, you know, for this configuration file, I want to suppress this rule so that it doesn't show up in the results. And the other thing that we want to implement, last feature that we can think of right now that we want to implement is really add more rules into it. So right now we have 33 different rules in CAD.NET for the configuration piece. We want to, you know, increase that. And we really, realistically, we think that's probably going to be, you know, around maybe 40 or 50 plus rules by the time we get to the next release. And we're going to push for that and, you know, identify as many different configuration rules that we can so that, you know, we can make the system as secure as possible.
I mean, at this point, I think the one clear indication is that this new engine is aimed towards config files, provides developers with upfront chance to detect configuration issues during development itself. So, you know, that will allow you to write secure, not only secure code, but secure configuration upfront, rather than worrying about secure configuration after you deploy or while you're deploying the application, which is usually the case where we've seen many applications try to change the configuration values during production time and then find out that the application is not working and then they still run with insecure configuration. Sure. So, you know, this is kind of a real problem that, you know, CAD.NET is trying to solve upfront at the development time.
Yeah, it seems there is a lot of additions to, you know, the definition of CAD.NET, especially by being part of the code analysis of Visual Studio. So I understand right now that the tool is available as a command line option. You know, do you guys look forward to having mm-hmm. it part of the Visual Studio UI?
Correct. So the next version is both the data flow analysis engine as well as the configuration engine will be part of Visual Studio UI as code analysis rules. So when you go and right-click a project and go to the proper project properties, you have a code analysis tab, and you can see all the rules that you want to run. Now, CAD.NET rules will also appear as additional rules in that code analysis tab. So that way, you know, the user doesn't need to go to another UI and turn it on and off. One of the advantages of using Visual Studio UI is that the these properties are also now then be useful in MS build process. So if you have an automated build process, you could easily run cat.net. That was one of the big pain points from the previous version. People had to write custom, users had to write custom tasks to actually invoke cat.net and to process the rules. So in the newer version, it's completely seamless. It's completely seamless in that perspective. And as it is, as they appear as the code analysis rules, you can also have check-in policies. You can say, okay, I do not absolutely want this type of configuration to be checked in. Or you can say, oh, I do not want absolutely this kind of data flow vulnerability checked in. So it gives you that power to do that that kind of granular check-in policies.
Great. So it's also like applying best practices, you know, at the time of checking in.
Yeah. So you know that in your source control system, you always have some kind of gateway that checks for the check-in files.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, a reason we didn't have a UI for this is because the plan is to eventually integrate with Visual Studio and with the code analysis window. So tab. With the developer editions and the team suite editions of Visual Studio, there is actually a code analysis tab, which has many of the FX COP rules. And what will happen in the next few versions of Visual Studio is that you will start seeing the cat.net rules migrate into that piece, and these cat.net rules will essentially appear as additional rules in the code analysis tab.
Yeah.
So that's where they're going to live. So that's why we don't really have a UI at this point. And because of that integration. Another thing that I just quickly want to talk about was the configuration rules. So when you install cat.net, the current version, that's a command line tool, you will see that there's actually a directory with all the configuration rules. They're on XML format. So what you can do is you can actually change these rules, right? So if your organization has different timeout limits or different you can make your security more stringent or less stringent based on what the requirements are for your company or your organization, right? So these rules are highly configurable and can be changed. You can just go into the configuration XML file and just change and tweak the numbers. They're pretty straightforward, very easy to understand, and you can make them adapt to your needs. So that's very easily accomplished.
So when we're talking about configuration, is it exactly what Waka does?
Correct. So that's a good point, because last time we spoke about Waka, we also touched a point that it also does web.config checks.
Exactly.
In fact, all of the checks are same. The source for the checks in Waka, source for checks in cat.net are same. So
okay.
What happens is you use cat.net in your development time and verify the configuration and make sure you have secure configuration. And when you deploy to your pre-production or your UAT environment, you can have your tester run back and make sure that the same settings have been maintained and nobody's changing
okay.
those settings.
So there is it's the same language when you're a developer doing your code analysis, and then when someone in production may want to do a double check.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an important point, that these checks are pretty much in sync. They're checking for
yeah.
the same things. One important differentiation is really that Waka is, is focused towards also SQL and IIS and other general host level vulnerabilities, whereas the cat.net configuration engine is really just looking at the application layer, and
yeah.
it's really focusing on the configuration piece
okay,
of it. And right now it's only looking at the configuration files, but in the future version, as I talked about earlier, we're also going to look at the code level configurations and capture those as well.
Nice. So it seems that there is a lot to play with the new CTP. It's already available from InConnect at Microsoft.
Correct.
So I think it's an opportunity to just start collecting that feedback, and then eventually have a more detailed explanation on how to use it, the command line, or even when it's integrated into Visual
mm-hmm.
Studio. So before we leave, when is the next release of this of cat.net?
So at this point, the current version, I would like to again urge your users to go and download from connect.microsoft.com. And we have special bug submission forms that we created that when you submit bugs, they go directly into our Team Foundation server. So we can pay immediate attention, fix
Great.
Those into the new version. The next version, we're looking at a January-February timeframe where we're going to have a beta 1 released, which is going to be integrated into Visual Studio 2010. So that would not include any command line UI. You would just use Visual Studio 2010 UI and run the code analysis in there.
Great. Thanks again, and we look forward to a screencast soon.
Thank you, Josie.
Thank you.